Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, my next guest is Chris Bond, who's the area director of Murphy Business Group in Franklin, Massachusetts. Chris, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill. How about you?
Very good, thanks. Thanks for joining us from Massachusetts. How's your weather out there today?
You know, it's pretty cold, and I appreciate the opportunity to stay inside and be on the radio. How about that?
Well, it's good. We're actually 10 below here in California, but it's 10 below 70, so I won't... I won't push that point at all, but hey, Chris, I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. We talked a bit on the phone before the interview, and you have a very interesting few things to talk about. But first of all, give us a little bit of your background and what led you to get into this line of work.
Well, I was a sales management coach and consultant for about 13 years, and along the way worked with a lot of small business owners on top-line revenue growth. And you have high retention in that business because once you solve one sales problem, you know, another one pops up, or you help a small company owner, you know, be the sales manager, and they hate it, so they lean on you more and more for help. And I noticed over the years that they were not doing a great job of figuring out who was going to take over. My clients over the years have tended to be bad networkers. They don't do a lot of succession planning. They don't do a lot of any kind of planning, frankly. So I noticed there was an opportunity to help them figure out not just growing top-line revenues, but how to actually increase the value of the business, actually understand the bottom-line value, market value of the business. And then ultimately, I thought, wow, what an opportunity to help baby boomers sell those businesses. That's where it all came from.
So you took the business owner who really knows how to be a good technician, whatever it is that they do, it's a baker, butcher, candlestick maker, but they don't really understand as much about the nuts and bolts of being a business owner. Is that what you're getting at there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have an expertise outside of sales. They have an expertise outside of transition. So they tend to value people who can help them figure out breaking into new markets and growing top-line revenue, and especially those who can help them figure out what is that revenue growth doing for actual value of the business. And if they have kids who don't want the business, and if they have employees who can't afford the business, who's going to help them figure out who's going to run the business next? That's the key value that we tried to provide our clients.
Incredibly valuable stuff, and that's a great resource to be to a business owner.
All right, let's see if we've got Chris back on the line here. Chris, you with us?
I sure am.
Okay, that sounds a lot better. We didn't want to lose any of this, so I'll let Bill pick it up from where he left it off here.
Yeah, before that break there, Chris, we were talking about what you do with business owners and what Murphy Business does. So let's pick that up again, if you don't mind.
Sure, not at all. So we do two things. We help business owners understand the current market value of the business. That's step one. And I do that as an isolated step because I want to make sure we're on the same page with that. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we aren't up front. Folks expect a lot more for their business than sometimes reality dictates.
Yes.
So that's part number one. Part number two is actually helping them when the time is right and the situation is right and the numbers are right, helping them do the search for the buyer and actually getting the deal done. So a business that's been around for decades can go on for decades to come.
So what happens when you come in with a business valuation and a business owner says, boy, I can't afford to sell for that. I think it's worth a lot more than that. What happens? Do you help them in some way to try to increase the value, or do you point them in the right direction?
Do you mean after they call security and have me removed from the building?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a wide network of advisors on whom I rely for help and advice and, frankly, referrals. And the same thing back. They seek my advice and my referrals. So it's nice to be able to point an advisor or put an advisor and a business owner together to help figure out things like boosting earnings or preparing for the exit or, you know, doing some things that frankly are outside of what I do day to day. I stick with those two pieces, determining the market value and doing the search for the buyer, and let other people do their pieces.
Those are full-time endeavors as they are. So what are some of the common reasons? You talked about the earnings weren't enough. What are some of the common reasons that businesses are undervalued based on the owner's expectations?
It's almost always the earnings line. The biggest problem I see is when a business owner gets invited to one of these hotel seminars, if you will, where somebody's selling some kind of consulting service, and they'll talk from the podium in terms of a multiple of income. And I think the point of confusion is a business owner might hear income as top-line revenue as opposed to bottom-line earnings. So when they hear, oh, you can get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times income, you have somebody running a $1 million business thinking they're going to get $2 to $6 million for that business, and they're not, because typically the earnings will be something more like a couple $100,000 or $400,000. So 2 to 3 to 4 times that number, fine, now we're talking. Maybe that business is worth upwards of $1 million when it's generating revenue upwards of $1 million, but boy, it's not worth the millions that oftentimes people are misguided to think that it is.
Yeah, well, that's been their lifestyle. It's been supporting them for years, and they probably think that that will transfer easily, but that's really what it boils down to, is how transferable is what you do and how your business is put together to another buyer who can perhaps make more out of it or hopefully make a go of it, right?
Yeah, without question. It's surviving the exit of the founder or the operator, or sometimes that's the same person. That's the biggest key. And every client project I work on is heavily weighted towards goodwill. So the value often is in the name, the brand, the phone number, the web address, and a lot of what the founder or the operator has built. So it's difficult to transfer that. I've got a deal right now, a signed purchase and sale agreement, all ducks in a row, all pieces negotiated, lawyers have done their parts. The one snag is the final piece of financing for the buyer and getting a bank to be comfortable with how heavily weighted this small publishing company is on the founder's knowledge as opposed to on the books. And that's you know, frankly, a challenge, and we've got multiple banks looking at it, trying to get one of them comfortable with the buyer is so savvy and so talented that he's going to be able to grow the business beyond what the founder has built, never mind just maintain what he's built.
That's a great tip. I want to build on that after our quick break here. We're talking with Chris Bond of Murphy Business in Franklin, Massachusetts, and we'll be right back.
Were you born between 1946 and 1964? If so, you're a baby boomer. Did you know that there are over 12 million baby boomer business owners in the U.S.? And they all have one thing in common. Someday, every one of them will exit their business. And a large number of them want to exit in the next 5 years. What about you? What's your five-year plan? At Exit and Retirement Strategies, we work every day with business owners like you. As your exit coach, we create a planning roadmap that your tax, legal, and financial advisors can all work together from as a team to help you reach your goals. Then we make sure the work gets done on a prioritized basis. This approach saves time and money. If you want to start the clock on your five-year exit plan, call Bill Black, the Exit Coach, at 866-370-3774 for a free consultation. That's 866-370-3774. We'll help you find your exit.
And now back to Bill and his guest.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Chris Bond, who's Area Director of Murphy Business Financial in Franklin, Massachusetts. Chris, before the break, we started to tell us about a little bit of a situations that you've been through with some business owners. And if you could give us a couple stories about maybe a recent client that you helped or situation before you came on the scene, and how did you help and what was the outcome?
The main thing to help a business owner with is helping them understand what kind of a roller coaster it is to sell a business, how difficult it is to not only maintain the value of what they've built, but actually improve it through the process. So I had a deal close last New Year's Eve, in fact, right before we all went over a cliff. We got a deal done. It was a niche contracting company. They build chimneys and towers and all kinds of neat custom-built block structures.
Mm-hmm.
And helping that 78-year-old owner calm down after his vice president left unexpectedly. This was the guy who was going to take over, just walked out the door and decided to compete. Help him find a buyer outside of his market. He was convinced that his friendly competitor from a few states away was the perfect buyer, and that not so in the end. Friendly competitor flew in and made an incredibly insulting offer. So helping him understand that sometimes you have to look beyond the obvious, the vice president who actually isn't committed, the competitor who actually isn't serious and isn't going to really make a healthy offer, and looking beyond that. That's where we work pretty hard on behalf of our clients, casting a wide net to make sure that we're talking to all potential buyers and finding not just the highest offer, but the best offer, the one that's going to go through to actually close and to actually be successful into the future.
And that might not be all about money, right? I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into the best offer for this situation, depending on what an owner's really after, what their objectives are. Is that right?
No question about it. I have an attorney friend who says, you don't worry about the last earnout check or seller finance check to come in. You worry about the first one. So in his mind, when that first check comes in, let's say there's a two-year payout period, and there's going to be payments made to the seller on a quarterly basis. It's not the last one you worry about, it's the first one. Because when the first one comes in, you're pretty confident all other payments will come in. But if the first one doesn't come in or come in on time, then you're really worried. So it's one thing to get a high offer and accept it, but if a lot of that offer is in question, whether or not it's ever going to be paid, that's a whole different ballgame. We actually just had a deal close about 6 weeks ago, a manufacturer up in New Hampshire, where the founder had died, and we accepted the second highest offer because it was an all-cash offer. They could have realized, the seller's family could have realized a higher offer over a bit of time. They decided to go with the sure bet and go with the cash offer and settle things up and just move on so they could, you know, emotionally they were ready to move on. So they took less money than they could have gotten, but they took the sure money.
Well, time equals risk when you're talking about business sales and situations like that, right?
No question.
The longer the more things that can go wrong. Tell us about a typical earnout scenario that you see. Actually, just give us a real brief overview. What is an earnout for our listeners, Chris?
An earnout is the realization of the final payments to come up to the actual selling price, but earned out over a period of time. What buyers want to have happen is they want a seller to prove the actual value of the business by having them be patient and waiting for a piece of the payout. So in other words, once the transition period has happened, say 6, 12, 18, or 24 months, the buyer will make additional payments with the comfort that, okay, it is what you said it is. Had a very creative deal earlier this year where the earnout is actually, a down payment was made for about 80% of the deal. A bank stepped in for a percentage of the deal. The seller actually financed another small percentage of the deal. And the earnout comes in years 3, 4, and 5 in the forms of 1.5% of revenues in years 3, 4, and 5. A very clever approach done by the CPA who actually referred me to the project. That was a unique one in my mind, but it was a perfect one because the seller collected 90% or more of the money in a tidy time frame,
mm-hmm.
but he had incentive over 2 years of transition to make sure years 3, 4, and 5 were going to be healthy. So he's got some pretty decent money on the line in years 3, 4, and 5. So everybody's pulling in the same direction, making sure the first 2 years go very smoothly.
Well, so earnouts aren't all about clawbacks and takebacks. A lot of times they can incentivize the retiring or selling owner to stick around and make things work out. And if the new buyer helps push the business value or revenues up, then it sounds like that's very healthy for both of those individuals. That's great.
It is.
Hey,
some people would call that a win-win.
I would call it a win-win.
Both avoiding using that expression.
We're down to our last minute, Chris, but could you give us three quick tips that you think that business owners that are contemplating selling their business should keep mindful of?
Sure. I call it breathe, think, and prepare. Breathe means calm down. If you get an offer for the business or if you think it's time to sell, you know, it's okay to pause a minute and really think and make sure you're not rushing into the bad situation. Think simply means, you know, what are you trying to get out of the deal? What do you hope to have happen? I have people tell me all the time they want to sell the business for X dollars. Well, what does that mean? What are you actually going to keep? That comes in the think phase. And then preparing, actually working hard to make sure that all the appropriate steps are taken so the optimal sale happens and the optimal exit is the reality. Breathe, think, and prepare are three very worthwhile exercises for business owners who are somewhere along the path to selling a business.
Great tips, Chris. Thanks very much. And if you would, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and what they'll find when they get there.
Sure. You can get in touch with me a lot of ways. My office line is 508-440-5670. But on the web, you know, murphybusiness.com, chrisbond-murphy.com, bizbrokerbond on Twitter. And folks can certainly find me on LinkedIn, a tool I get a lot of value out of.
Chris Bond, Area Director of Murphy Business in Franklin, Massachusetts. A very, very interesting and full of tips and information. Chris, thanks very much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Bill, it was a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business. Join us live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific here on octalkradio.net. And don't forget to listen to the daily 1-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on exitcoachradio.com. The Exit Coach Radio Show is brought to you by Exit and Retirement Strategies. We'll help you find your exit. For Exit Coach Radio, I'm Spike Real, saying so long for now.